Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Good evening. You have joined Laborers for Christ Word Life Center, Spiritual Growth and Development. For the month of April and May, we are embarking upon the challenge of the apostle to write the vision and make it plain. We are coming together in spiritual revelation and insight to subscribe the writings and teachings of Laborers for Christ and that which Holy Spirit will bring to us. We are encouraging you to get your Bibles out, your notebooks, your journals, your pencils, your computers, your tablets, so that as the Spirit flows, you might be a part of this prophetic apostolic writing every Wednesday. This is where we will find ourselves. And it will conclude at the end of these sessions with a one-day writer's retreat. The scripture says, the tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So let's prepare to hear, see, and write. Lord, we stand in awe of you. We stand ready to hear what the Spirit will say to the church. We stand ready for the new wine that will pour from new wineskins so that the earth will become glad about the good news of God. We go to the physical location where they are preparing to receive the download of heaven as we are willing vessels, empty out and prepared and sanctified unto the Lord so that that which he will have us do with the harvest in this season, we will be prepared to be used by him, not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. Praise the Lord. The physical location, prepare to go forth.
Amen. So, Eternal Father God, we thank you, oh Father God. We just honor you and we reverence you, oh God, for who you are, oh Father God. We say hallelujah, oh God, for you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, for being the great I am, oh Lord God, for being our all in all, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, that you are all sufficient in all things, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, that you are provider, you are creator, oh God, the lover of our souls, oh God. We thank you for being redeemer, deliverer, healer, oh God, that you are the life giver and life sustainer, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh God, for the breath of life, oh God, for the breath of God that breathes, that moves, that creates, that communicates, oh Lord God, that shifts, oh Lord God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we thank you, oh God, that you, oh God, are everything, oh God, and we love you today, oh God. We worship you and we adore you, oh Lord God. We bless you, oh Father God. You are worthy, God, of our praise, God. You are worthy, oh Lord. We reverence you, O Lord God. We bow, O Lord God, in submission and in surrender, O Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, O God, that you are faithful, O God, and there is none beside you, and none can stand before you, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, King of Kings, O Lord God. We thank you, O God, that you are mighty, O Father God, that you are strong, O God, in the name of Jesus, O Lord God. So we come on today, O Lord God. We just say thank you, O God. We give you a praise, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. We praise you, oh God, for this day that you made, oh Father God. Rejoice, oh Lord God, in the fact, oh Lord God, that you created us, oh Lord God. We Lord God, for we are your workmanship, oh Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you thought enough about us, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to write us into this day, oh God, for purpose, for destiny, oh God. We thank you, oh, for your anointings, your callings, oh God, your giftings, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God, we thank you, we surrender your will, oh Father God, nevertheless, God, but your will be done, oh Father God, in earth as it is in heaven, oh Lord God. We agree, oh God, with your word, oh Father God. We agree with your thoughts and your plans towards us, oh Father God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we agree, oh Father God, that you are mighty, oh God. We agree, oh Father God, excuse me, we agree, oh God, that you are standing, oh Lord God, with your outstretched hands, oh Lord God, that you are reaching, oh Lord God, into the depths of the earth, oh Lord God, and you're still driving, oh Lord God, still pulling, you're still, oh Lord God, you're still making waves, still delivering, oh Lord God. Your blood, oh Lord God, is still flowing to and fro, oh Lord God, reaching to every soul, oh Lord God. We thank you in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. We pray, oh Father God, a spirit of salvation, oh God, be released over the earth, oh God, that all men, oh Lord God, shall know you and confess your name, Lord and Jesus, Savior, God, in the name of Father God. Thank you, oh God, that our hearts, oh God, will be turned to you, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus, O God, that there be a spirit of repentance, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus, O God, that goes throughout the earth, O God, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, O Lord God. We call forth those that have walked away, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus, O Lord God, that they will come back like the prodigal son, O Lord God, and be rewarded, O Father God, in the name of Jesus, O God. We thank you even now, O Lord God, that there is none that can hide from you, O Lord God, because your eyes go seeking to and fro, O Lord God. We thank you, El Roi, O Lord God, the Lord God who sees, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, God, for seeing, oh, Father God, in our hearts and in the crevices and in the dark places, oh, Lord God. And we thank you for the light that shines, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that pierces, oh, God, the hearts, that pierces, oh, Lord God, even those places we don't want it to, oh, God. But we thank you, God, that your light, oh, Father God, is bright enough, oh, Lord God, to a glimpse of who you are, oh, Lord God. So we thank you. We bless you, oh, Lord God, for even this, your session, oh, Lord God. We pray, oh, God, your spirit, your anointing over these books, over these words, oh, Lord God, that would be released, oh, God, that would go out to distribute your truth, oh, God, that it may edify the body of Christ, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh, God. So we pray, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you have your way, that you download, that you downpour insight, revelation, fresh knowledge, oh, Lord God, into us, oh, Lord God, as your scribes, as your seers, as your listeners, as your penners, oh, Lord God, as your graphic designers, oh, Lord God, as your elders, your apostles, your pastors, your teachers, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where she go? Oh,
thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us together this prayer. So we bless the Lord for his plan and for his agenda. Yes. I wanted to share this truth out of Habakkuk. And it is going to be a familiar passage of scripture. But Habakkuk says, but answered and replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. And I believe that that becomes, and then it says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not end. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And so I wanted to start off with that passage of scripture out of Habakkuk 2:2-4, because I believe that it is important sometimes to just revisit the fact of what it is we've been assigned to do. And so I know that you all have the multiple versions and things of that nature. But, again, this is the whole write the vision and make it plain. And so just kind of looking to keep before us that the purpose of this or our assignment as it relates to what we're doing as we come to an end of the month of April and then moving forward is all about writing the vision. There are some truths that need to be documented for a generation not yet created so that they will be able to praise God. Yeah, there are some truths that need to be documented so that we can be able to run. I think it is impressive, to say the least, definitely impressive that the scripture says, so that they that read it may run. Well, interesting that we have a lot of activity, a lot of scurrying around, a lot of running, a lot of movement. And yet, all of that movement is of no avail if there has been vision written down. And so just wanting to just kind of keep in our mindset that it's essential that we write the vision and make it plain. Anybody have a different version? And so as I begin to reflect on this, if the vision isn't properly documented, there is an element of individuals who will faint and perish. The vision speaks to the revelation, or the revelation is the vision. And so then I had to really begin to look, because all I've been saying is that we do all this teaching and nobody is writing it down. So if everybody would just write down what we're saying, we would have this. Mm-hmm. Or why can't somebody just do it? Just do it. Then the Lord said, but the scripture says write the vision, but another word for this vision is write the revelation that you have.
Right.
Another man came document your revelation.
Right.
They can't capture the revelatory insight the Holy Spirit has given you in a way where it can be downloaded into someone else. So he says, I need you to write it down, because then I am going to, based off of the revelatory insight I've given you, I am going to align people who need it to go the next leg of their journey.
Wow.
And if they don't have the revelatory insight, then as they're on their journey, they're going to be on their journey, but they will not be able to they won't have successful momentum. They won't be able to get from point A to point B successfully, because the scripture says if it isn't written down, then they can't walk, they can't run with it. But when it's written down, then that becomes the blueprint or blueprint, excuse me. So now we're talking about revelation. So revelation is the expression and the breath of God. So when it's written down, the expression and the breath of God then begins to infuse and energize individuals for upward mobility. I can now go because it is the breath of God that has been imparted in me that is strengthening me to be able to go the next leg.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a familiar passage of scripture. I'm sure it's a passage of scripture we have taught on. And yet, every time we look at it, Holy Spirit gives us what we need for the place that we're at and for that we're going. So, does anybody have a different version? Okay, the message.
Right. It says, and then God answered, write this, write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. The vision message is a witness, pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time.
Amen. Amen. That is phenomenal. I love it because that particular version says, look, this is how I need it to be documented, because it doesn't matter. I'm taking into consideration all of the people that I have that need to read it. So, you know, we live in this. I've been fussing about technology and social media, and so that's the type of society that we live in. It's like I shouldn't have to find out stuff via social media. But it is interesting because it's like, no, look at this differently. That's the venue that it needs to be written on, because that's where the individuals will read it. You're writing it in a place where nobody's going to read it.
Wow.
I was messed up by that. Like, I'm quick to tell, you know, overseers say, explain it or teach it. I go, how many times you want me to do it? I said it 15 times. She said, well, you haven't said it until they're doing it. No. They just ain't doing it. She said, no, the evidence that you have effectively communicated the vision is when you see it being expressed or being lived out. I mean, I'm not like quoting her verbatim, but that's how you know you've done it. Until you've done that, you are communicating in a language cannot be heard because they're using a different methodology. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you need to change your language. Change how you're teaching. Change how you're saying it. And so your version, the message version, says put it in some big blocks. Okay. So you know, in this age we got these little bifocus, it's like, yeah, this is written real big, but not just the size of it, but put it in a language where the people that's appointed to run, that they can use it or they can read it. They can see it. It's interesting, you know, what we used to, you know, read the Bible maybe out of the King James Version. And, you know, there's just different things that we read that spoke to the time that we were living in. today. It was a time you went to church with a big old Bible.
Right.
The bigger the Bible, the better. You know, it needed to be super big, you know, and everything like this big old heavy Bible somebody has right here, and it has all those little tabs on it. It needed to look worn and used, okay? Yeah, exactly. That was the age. Today, Bibles don't go to church. It's technology. It's on a device. You know, it's a different world. Mm-hmm. So it's use the language that the people that you're writing for have access to. If you use the language or if you use a method or a system that is outdated, just because you represent that date and age, if you represent that date and age and he has you writing for a generation yet to come, you need to get a revelatory insight of how they're going to read in a generation yet to come.
Yeah.
Okay, whether it's symbols, whatever it is. So I just thought that was interesting, Apostle.
I thought it was interesting when she said, her version said, write it in big bold. They can see it while they're running.
While they're on the run.
Yeah, and that goes back and speaks to what Overseer told you, that no, you haven't said it in the way that they move it.
Right.
We don't know that they got it when we see them moving with it. And so I just thought that was phenomenal.
Yeah. A plan is that has been effective. Mm-hmm. Overseer, wow, yes.
Yes. You know, as you were sharing, no, I was reminded of the scripture that the Lord told the children of Israel to write it on their foreheads, on the back of their eyelids, on their doorposts. So there were different things that he even told them to write it, so that that generation that was to come would get the message of how they made it over. And so just him using those three things. And it may be more than three, but I know it's at least three. Your forehead, your eyelids, indicating your eyes are closed, whether they're closed, whether someone is looking at you, whether you're looking out, wherever your vantage point is, as you're saying, where you put it. If it's on the doorpost outside, I thought of that as social media, okay? That's your doorpost outside. So even prophetically speaking, the Lord knew that social media was going to come into play, and that this word had been placed in places where people would see it and run. Praise the Lord for that revelation. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we want to look, that's the other scripture, but I didn't have the address of it, so if we can look it up and get the address of that particular scripture.
And, Papa, I thought about our youth. They don't come into, I mean, not all of them, but they don't come into the four walls anymore. And I had been, even when Clive and I were talking, he would say, well, I ain't found a church that I feel kind of speak to, like Labors for Christ, to our power, whatever, you know. And so they just don't go. They're just, every now and then read their Bible or whatever, but they, you know, they'll get it at the punk rock or the artist. They don't see a church in the four walls. So,
absolutely.
You know.
And so that's something to understand about the generations forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they are absorbing what they see and what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
So you know. Our grandparents' generation, you did what you were told.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't question it. It was the preacher said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You go forward a few generations, you may have rebelled, okay, our parents' generation, you may have rebelled, but you rebelled respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
Because it still had to be honored.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue to move through the generations, there's no reverence, and it's not preach a sermon and do what I say. No, it's
And are you doing this?
Right.
And what makes what you say right? So it's an interrogation. It's a questioning. You need to validate and substantiate what it is you're saying. While you go back some generations, it was taken for face value. Never gave it a moment's thought. These generations forthcoming? No.
I thought it was interesting, even when we had the pastoral training, how you said, you know, how are you going to pastor a church in the future when people now don't come into the four walls, when everybody is on social media, email, and those types of things. And so we've got to now transition our mindset.
Absolutely.
To be able to write a vision that's going to reach the people that don't come to church.
Right. Reach the people that don't read. Not because they can't read. I'm not even saying because they can't read. But the people that, they don't read or write. Timothy was working on a project. He picked up his phone, spoke it in there, and it did it. We live in that kind of generation now. They read, press the button, and it's going to read it to me while I do four other things. But biblical principles are still the same. Faith come by hearing. So everything that these generations are hearing is being processed and put in some compartment to be later tested and validated or dismissed. So when the Lord will say, you know, this Habakkuk scripture, your version, write it so that they can read it on the run, in motion, That message Bible couldn't have been written for the 30s. It wasn't set up that way on the run. No, but you sat down at how many people's great grandparents or grandparents did the Moody radio? That was church. That was the second church time. We sit down and we listen to the radio, to the word. We're not in motion cooking dinner. We sitting there. We don't do that. We multitasking while we preaching.
We don't even sit at the dinner table.
Dinner table, you can take the table out the house.
Right.
Because it doesn't have that place anymore. So, okay, did anybody have another translation or the scripture they talked about, write it on the forehead? I don't have one.
What's the scripture?
That's bad. I'm sitting here going, oh, I need my phone so I can look it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm
going to
do.
I'm going to
get my phone
up there, like, ooh. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a time you doing a lesson, you're going to bring out your Strong's cookie. It looks different. It looks different. So, but definitely wanted to be able to share that so that is a place that we can definitely glean from. All right, so I shared that because I wanted to be able to talk about what we're doing. So we've come to the end of the month of April, and again, this was designed so that we can get some writing done, so that we could get some books written, so that we could begin to formulate and develop the curriculum for the
experience.
Gathering.
Oh, is it the gathering? I couldn't remember the correct name of it. The rest, redemptive healing experience. Okay, yes.
Now, you said bottom of your forehead?
So, it could be. Oh, can look it up. And so, what it is putting before us, the itinerary. Writing these different documents for those purposes, just kind of keeping that before us. So at the conclusion of this, we want to have the seminars, we want to have the outlines, we want to have the curriculum along with whatever journals or books or teaching material we need. We want to have been able to produce that ourselves. We want to clearly finish at least two books and then visit and put in usable form this particular book that we wrote, A More Excellent Way, a 31-day devotional, especially a 31-day devotional, learning to love yourself through the eyes of God. So just keeping that before us so that we never lose sight of what the agenda is, what the goal is, what the purpose is. So wanted to be able to share that, which is why we were sharing the Habakkuk scripture. And the other scripture, did anybody find the other scripture?
I found it, but there's a lot of different versions.
Where is it at?
One is in Exodus 13:9. One is Deuteronomy 11:18. And Proverbs 3:3.
Exodus 13:9 simply reminds us this observation will be for you like a sign on your head and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. Okay, what was the other one?
Deuteronomy 11:18.
Deuteronomy 11. Oh, my God. I need to put my glasses on. 11:18 says to us, fix these words of mine in your heart and mind. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give you and your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. So that's Deuteronomy 11:18 through 22. All right. I want to spend some time today looking at Psalms 138. And maybe it says the Lord will perfect, meaning work out his plans for my life and the things that concern me. Do not abandon me, for you have made me. Another translation says the Lord will vindicate me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. I don't know if anybody else has another version that they want to. I don't know what the passion or the vision.
One verse?
138:8. Mm-hmm. So Psalms 138:8.
The pastor version doesn't do the entire Old Testament?
No.
Or does it come over my phone?
It doesn't.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
But I have downloaded it or something.
No, no.
Now, the message says, too, but it's got 7 and 8 together. It says, I think the end part, with your other hand, saying, finish what you started in me, God. Your love is eternal. Don't quit on me now.
Amen.
The NIV says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
The voice. The eternal will finish what he started in me. Your faithful love, O eternal ones, lasts forever. Do not give up on what your hands have made.
So I want us to look at this with the concept of we are under construction. And Hosea 6:1 says, He must destroy the old so that he can build anew. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that spoke prophetically, because Psalms 138 says, look, Lord, you are going to perfect. You're going to work out your plan for my life, or you're going to finish what you started. You're going to fulfill your purpose in me. And so then Hosea turns around and says, and one of the ways that he does that is he first must destroy the old so that he can build anew. I think we talked, was it last week or so, the Revelation passage of Scripture, that Revelation 21 and 5, it says, I'm making everything new. I'm making everything new. So it is a continuation of that thought. So he says, look, in order, as we move forward, there's been some things that have gotten out of place. Mm-hmm. But even though it has become disjointed or marred, it doesn't change my plan. I love Psalms because Psalms is as if the psalmist is saying, look, you can't leave me stuck in this place. I know that along the journey I've messed up some things, but you cannot leave me stuck in this place. He says, look, finish or fulfill. The Bible tells us he has begun a good work. Has to do what?
Finish.
It's mandated. And so I love it. It's almost like the Lord cannot start a job without finishing the job. Okay? And so Hosea says, look, the way that this, one of the ways that this happens is that you destroy everything old. Second Corinthians says this, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become brand new. So there is a place for everything outdated and old in our life. I got excited about that. There's some things that, you know, we just want to forget. And even though the word of the Lord tells us, look, to forget those things that are behind us, it doesn't change that there are some stuff that's behind us. So we forget them, or we let them go, or we release ourselves from the hold of the memory of it, because according to the scripture, he takes it and he changes it, and he destroys what was old just so that we can have something new. That's amazing for me, because if we're supposed to forget the things that are behind us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got all this stuff behind you, but you don't want me to recall it anymore. But it has not been deleted from my memory bank. But he says, this is what I need you to do. In the forgetting process, let go of the memory of the thing. Mm-hmm. It only stays alive because we keep it alive.
Right.
That was a lot for me. So it only has permission to live and create after itself new memories because you hold on to it and you feed it your today's, when my today's food is supposed to be for my faith and not for my past. So Hosea says, look, I'm going to destroy everything that was old. You don't need it anymore. It served its purpose, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. It served its purpose. And now what I need to do is I need to build anew. So then I got excited about that, because how many things in our life do we want the Lord just start over? Do make me over again. Make me over again. And not that you didn't do a good job the first time. It's just now I was a part of that process, and my flesh got in the way. So my flesh is even part of the old. My flesh is part of the old. Destroy it. Because Psalm says the Lord will perfect. And if there's no good thing that's in my flesh, then my flesh is not going to be perfected. That was like mind altering for me, because that meant no matter what I thought was good about me, it meant nothing to God, because there is no good thing in my flesh.
Right.
So anybody grew up in a self-esteem generation, like you're supposed to have self-esteem, mm-hmm. self-awareness, whatever you want to call it. It's like, no, you got to throw that out with the water and the baby. Okay, only because He says this, there is no good thing in your flesh. I need to destroy it because it is the inner enemy against your new being. So I begin to look at that because it says the Lord will perfect or work out his plans. As he is perfecting, he isn't perfecting my past. He's not even perfecting my present. He has perfected my future. So as I walk into a perfected future, I can walk into that perfected future because the old stuff has been systematically destroyed. And so our actions have often set off time bombs, and we've been broken, but when we look at it, we can be encouraged because we're broken in all the right places. Mm-hmm. So then I have to begin to look and go, if you're perfecting, and then the scripture says you will perfect everything that concerns me, that even my brokenness is purposeful. And you let somebody chip me here, you let somebody chip me there, and then I got broke here, I got crushed here. But you look and you go, but it was in the place that was already earmarked for destruction. I use that to bring about my plan and my purpose in your life. And so that gives the whole, what the enemy meant for my, the Lord turned around and used it for my good. The enemy wanted to destroy me with it. I said, no, I have a purpose for that bruise. So we can, you know, as I look at this, I have to begin to, maybe one of our assignments is beginning to name our bruises, but naming our bruises from a place of thanksgiving, like God, just because they had the opportunity to lie on me and to destroy my character, that's a pause for praise, because I realize your word says no weapon formed against you will prosper. However, it didn't say that nothing would form.
Wow.
So all of that was supposed to form, mm-hmm. just so that I could see it wouldn't prosper. Mm-hmm. So then I began to look, as I looked at this scripture, if you allow this to happen so that I can see that it wouldn't prosper, then the amount of things forming against us, and it can be really mammoth. I mean, like a lot of stuff. The stuff that's forming against us speaks to or testifies about what's in us. So we got all this commotion and calamity and attacks coming from the enemy, but it's because the greatness of God is attracting this warfare to try to diminish or destroy who God is in you and for you.
Okay.
So that was
wow.
an interesting perspective. So one of our assignments as we do this particular one needs to be that we begin to look at some of the things that the Lord has so graciously allowed to invade our life and find the place of praise and find the purpose. If we never find the purpose for it, then that means that we have purpose to be wounded by it.
Wow.
Okay, so we have been, according to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 8th and 9th verse, we have been damaged, but we've not been destroyed. And so the damaging, again, becomes essential that we've been damaged, but even in the damaged goods, they don't get discarded. They're not destroyed because he takes what was damaged and he simply says, look, I have a purpose for your damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to repurpose them.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they were going to be damaged. I knew you were going to be damaged in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I specialize in damaged goods.
Wow.
I can repurpose mm-hmm. a damaged good and make it new to you all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was encouraging. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 1st and 2nd says, this happens in this construction process. It happens so that according to John 3, 1 and 2, we can look like Christ when he comes. So we need these experiences so that we don't resemble our flesh, but resemble our faith, so that we can resemble the author and finisher of our faith. That's what it is, the author and finisher of our faith, because 1 John 3, 1 and 2 says, look, we need this. We need to look like Christ, and the only way we can look like Christ is to have some experiences that crucifies our independence and makes us dependent on Christ so that we can more accurately reflect his image. I'm somebody that got in trouble every day of my life, at least till I was 17. Probably 18, but definitely till I was 13, 14, I know I got a whooping, and I don't mean that cute thing we do today. Old school, beat you, you run, whatever is available, I don't care where I hit, you shouldn't have moved. So, you know, and in them days, you could still go to school and act up in school. You know, I had the mother, oh, you want to do that in school? Not a problem, because I'm going to come to school and beat you there, okay, in front of the class, and then tell me, you think you're a breakout, tell me what your thinking is there. So that becomes very interesting to me, because he says, look, I need you to resemble me. So I used to tell overseer, you can't beat you out of me. So, you can beat me, but I don't still look like you. So don't get mad at me because I look and act like you. That was my thinking. But how prophetic is that? All of the things the enemy is trying to do, all the things, every attack that the enemy launches against us, it's simply because we look like Christ and he's still got attitude. I was so encouraged by that, that we look so like Christ that he is still trying to defeat him. And so he, if I can defeat you, you another image bearer. If I can defeat you, another image bearer. You, another image bearer, another image bearer. He's saying, look, that's his agenda, to try to destroy or mar the image of Christ in us. But the Lord says, oh, I specialize in damaged goods. So, okay, next. My agenda was always to get rid of the old. You're not doing anything but servicing my purpose.
Wow.
So then 1 Peter 2 and 5 reminds us that we are being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. And so we only get to be built up after the stuff not usable has been torn down. So he doesn't even build up anything that he cannot use. So even as we go, because we're under construction, this whole thing is I'm under construction. Why am I under construction? Well, because he wants to destroy all of the old, because I've been damaged, but I'm not, that aspect of my isn't destroyed. He's going to do it. He's not going to let me self-destruct. He's going to do it. He says so that I could resemble Christ. And then so that I could be built up as a spiritual house, as a spiritual fortress. And so he says, as I build you up, I'm not building up anything that I cannot use. So then when you look at yourself, whatever doesn't go over to your next season, he can't use. Not that it's good, not that it's bad, it's just not usable for the next step. That's mind-altering for me. Because I don't know about you, I'm trying to hold on to some things like, Father, you can't strip everything. How about I give you a list of stuff I don't want to take?
Right.
I'm tired of it anyway, so let me give it to you. So let's just exchange. I'll make my list. You take the stuff on my list, and we'll do tomorrow together. We both be happy. And he's going, nope. I need to take everything that you found confidence in, because that if you have confidence in it, you don't have any in me. I need to take everything that you found a hope in, because if it's in that, then it's not in me.
Wow.
So that's why it doesn't get to go.
Wow.
So then Colossians says, 1:13, so that I could be transferred to a new kingdom, and as I'm transferred to a new kingdom, I go to that new kingdom with its principles and characteristics. That's Colossians 1:13. So my belief system and my characteristics that dwell in my presumed perfection cannot be substantiated, therefore cannot go to the kingdom. So it's kind of like all my self-righteousness. That's filthy rag. And I mean, we know that spiritually, or we've read it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look over, when I look over my life, when you look over your life, don't you think you've changed and you're better today than you were yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I am. Mm-hmm. And so I've done some self-improvement, some self-help, some spiritual disciplines. And he's going, but the principles that you built them on cannot stand the test of time.
Wow.
It's in your weakness that I'm made strong. You're trying to present strength and tell me to build from it. If I build on the foundation of your strength, when you get to the place where you have to stand, everything I built on you will fall and bring you down. Because you're not strong enough to stand.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that we have to be made new all over? Because you're saying that what we built on was built on something bad. So do we have to start the process all over?
We start the process all over all the time. This is like the coolest little scriptural book, False Adequacies,
mm-hmm.
Finding God at the End of You. And, you know, my idea of a good book is if it has, like, a lot of scriptures.
Right.
And so the Matthew 16:24 scripture, if any man would come after me, the first thing he must do is deny himself. And so then I just close it. Like, you know, if I only bought the book to read Deny Yourself,
mm-hmm.
Who does that? Yeah. Now we go by the book, but who denies themselves? We don't, I mean, in theory, you go to work every day so you can do what?
Not deny.
It's some things that, you know, you put some money away so you can do this. We purpose to have these relationships, these careers. I mean, who lives a life going, nope, can't have it. So who lives a life every day going, no, because this, if I buy, y'all know Carson's is going out of business, so somebody called Overseer, but this is the thing, somebody told Overseer so that they could tell me Carson's was going out of business because all their Louis Vuitton stuff is going on clear. So I said, I got to go to the Carson's further out because I can get a better deal,
mm-hmm.
because 10% off is still a sale for me.
Mm-hmm.
Who denies themselves?
Nobody.
So what is it about purchasing? I had a whole list of things, but I'll just hang out with my Louis Vuitton stuff. What is it about purchasing that gives some credence to my existence?
Mm-hmm.
And the more comfort or even identity that you find in things,
mm-hmm.
takes away from who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to begin to look and go, is there anything wrong with buying Louis Vuitton? Obviously, I'm not suggesting that at all. Okay? But it is, it's essential and it's important. Why do you need it? What we gonna say? Well, need it? We what? I want it. I don't need it. I want it. Why do you want it? Really? All of this on for? So, I deserve to be happy. I'm gonna be happy. And Father, I gave up this, this, and this. Okay? I want this. And he's going, so then all you did was switch addiction.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that was an exchange. I mean, an equal exchange, but an exchange nevertheless. And so getting to the point where I'm telling you, I opened it up and it says, deny your. Well, it started off with this, any man would come after me. Let him deny himself. Because self is the idol in our closet that we secretly feed and feel. That part is mine. Self is this idol. So we just got through teaching the CCTI class. What is my idol's ID? Mm-hmm. And so then I have to begin to look. We keep going under construction. We keep having to stop and destroy all the old and become brand new because along the way, I keep picking up these idols. And if we keep picking up these idols, it means what? Because something isn't being satisfied. So then that means there's a lack of truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts. You know, there's no knowledge. Because if it was, wouldn't keep making idols out of temporal things. Because at the end of the day, who's supposed to fulfill us and satisfy us? And we don't say that sadly, just kind of like, okay, yeah, God, you're supposed to do it. And you could really do that, you know, with that whole movie, the kind of ensemble kind of thing. Okay, no. But just getting to the point, so then where it says, look, your principles and your characteristics cannot stand because they've been tainted with some worldly pleasures. So then Colossians 2:11 says, you are being spiritually circumcised. I'm cutting away some stuff in your spirit man that originated in your natural man that you carried over to your spiritual man, even if it was from the premise that I deserve to be happy. Okay? So it says your old unregenerated nature needs to be removed. So we're keeping the beast alive. Some of that old nature, we're keeping it alive. And we keep it alive every time we kind of try to pacify it with this, this, and that. Okay.
I thought about when you were speaking earlier, you know, when we read our emails and you put it in the trash. But you keep it there.
Right.
But you don't know.
You don't delete the trash.
Yeah. And that's what we do. We put stuff in the trash, mm-hmm. but we save it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we only spam the really bad things that we decided we needed to get rid of anyway.
Wow.
Right. So we need to define unregenerated because unregenerated means profound, sinful, unscrupulous, unsaved heathen. That's what our nature is like. Okay, so then we go to what does it mean? What does all this mean? So being under construction is this process, this continual process of being made new. It's the Holy Spirit, bless you, birthing in us and creating, transforming, and shaping and perfecting us. When we consider it, we don't necessarily consider being under construction a negative thing. While we're under construction, we still have access to what we want. That was a bummer for me.
But are we under construction if we can get what we want?
How many places have you been to that's under construction, and it says we're still open while still doing business, okay? while we're under construction. That's how we are. We still open for business while we're under construction.
You are right about that.
Oh, yeah, we still open for business while we're under construction.
The other day, they were Hollywood, the golf course, but they had, you could come in there, and the golf course outside was out, but inside, a lot of work was being done. But they made a little room for people to have their birthday parties and stuff.
We make a little room to fulfill our, what did Colossians say, our old unregenerated nature while we are under construction, becoming a new thing. So under means covered by, concealed by, and supported by. And so we sometimes we have to embrace the position of being under construction and allow the Holy Spirit complete access while he's working on us. We're under construction, but we have restricted areas. This is a no-entrance zone. This is a no-entrance zone. In other words, Holy Spirit, Lord, you can do whatever you want. Just don't touch these areas here.
Wow.
Okay. And we celebrate it. We get excited about it. But under means we are completely covered, concealed, and yet the word that really blessed me was that we're supported by. So to be under construction means the Holy Spirit wants to support us, uphold us, while he breaks us down piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody remember the song, like, I don't know what year it came out, but I'm a brick house.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, some of y'all got age on y'all side. And so I can remember that song, and I can remember overseer saying, okay, then I need to tear you down brick by brick so that you can understand some stuff. Because that house can no longer stand in this house. So then I take that, for the record, she was really serious. She literally meant that.
Wow.
But from a spiritual perspective, I begin, because those are those memories you just don't forget. But only because while she said it to correct a natural behavior, prophetically speaking, as long as you believe you're a house that's erected that can't nobody touch, you can never fit in God's house. So then I had to begin to look at that. What about us doesn't fit or won't fit within this new kingdom structure? What about our belief system about ourselves will cause us to outgrow our covering. So the whole thing, you know, I'm a brick house, and it establishes perimeters and foundations and everything. And he said, now look at that prophetically speaking. A house within a house. But you won't diminish so that you can benefit from the house. You decided to build something in a structure or take something already built to a structure and say, now let this stand. It's like erecting an idol in God's house.
Wow.
And all idols must come down. That was one of those mind-altering moments for me. Completely bummered. But definitely seeking healing and deliverance. Because I figured if I can get delivered from that mind, it's just my own personal thinking. If I get delivered from that mindset, then a level of healing and restoration could take place in my physical body, and then I can handle the promise. See? Amen. That's how I think. Some promises we can't handle. God can't do for us because he would just have to take us out there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can, what was the other scripture? Our principles and characteristics, according to Colossians 1:13, when we can allow them to be changed, when we can allow them to be altered, then we're in a place where we can house the promise. It's just some stuff he can't give you because he does not trust you with it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trustworthy with certain levels, with certain types of promises.
Wow.
All right. So John 15, he is, okay, so he is cleansing you, cleansing our sins, our secret faults, and all of our unrighteousness through the word. That's John 15 and 3. He cleanses my sins, my secret faults, and all of my unrighteousness through the word. Have you anybody ever been on a word denial? Okay, so that's just me. That's fine. You're accountable to him that knoweth to do and doeth not. To that man, it is a sin. Okay. So then what does my flesh do? My flesh goes on a what? No, a word denial. I cannot go on the sabbatical. I'm not completely crazy. But I can make sure that I do not meditate in this word to the
to make it look like you really have problems.
I can make sure that I don't do anything on a personal, intimate level with this so that I'm not responsible, because it's just like,
you ain't
ready. I do this, you're going to cleanse me of stuff I'm trying to keep. You know why it's a secret fault? In my mind, I know I can't keep no secrets for you, but it is my secret fault.
Everybody
and knows. We got a relationship. Anybody got a relationship with your secret fault? I call them our signature sins. Okay? So we do these word denials or word fast. I'm fasting from the word. Okay? So that the power of the word, because the word has to do what it has to do, won't have the impact in our life that it needs to have. Because John 15 says, well, get that word and it's going to wash you up. It's going to wash away everything you was trying to keep.
Mm.
Wash it away. So sin has a scent that the word washes away. That's amazing.
Wow.
So
what
the
verse was that in John 15?
15:3. It doesn't say sin has a scent.
Oh.
But sin has a scent, or the Bible calls it a stench.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, it has this. It has its own identifying aroma. Okay. And the Word of God says, "I'm coming to cleanse you." And you're going, I've become so accustomed to this scent or this stench of sin. Who am I without? If I can identify, I use that as indicators or markers to remember where I've been. Not that I want to go back. We don't always want to go back. Some of us find comfort in just remembering we were once there. No need to go back, but the stench of sin reminds us, yep, I've been there, I've been there, I've been there. So the word of the Lord, I mean, John 15 and 3 says, look, release that word, because the word is going to wash away the stench of it. We're not always, that's what happens to us while we're under construction. We're not always ready to do that. We know, we are no longer, part of being under construction says, I'm no longer available for the enemy, even if it's my inner me, use. That literally there is an out of order, there is an out of commission sign that is on me, that's in my process. And I have to honor it. You ever see the out of order sign and you go, but I need to get in there. I just need to do this. And he says, we need to stop violating God's principle, his restorative principle. We're out of order. We're out of commission for a reason. We keep trying to bypass it. So part of what happens for me while I'm under construction is I should be transformed, which simply means to be changed, to be reconstructed, and to be converted. He is looking to transform my life. He is looking to renew, which means to restore, recreate, and to raise from its dead way of thinking so that it could be replaced, my mind. So he's looking to change, reconstruct, and convert my life, but only so that my mind, he can restore, recreate, and raise from its dead way of thinking my mind. But that's only, it's at that point, because it is amazing the progression of that, that he says, I can now circumcise, which is to cut away every unfruitful area, every fruit-bearing area in the wrong season, and I can deal with the brokenness that you have in your heart. Now, in my mind, he would do all of that when we weren't conscious of it. He says, I need you to consciously begin to see my separating process that I'm about to take you through, because that's what being under construction is. You need to be able to see this is the old model, and now this is the new model. And so he says he does that so that he can input in us his righteousness, his holiness, and his right standards, so that he can order, arrange, rearrange our goings, our dwellings, and our footsteps, only so that he can get to the place where the purpose that was birthed in us can be birthed in us again. So it's amazing, we're birthed with purpose, even though we don't realize it and we don't understand it. But all of this other stuff kind of conceals or hides our God-given purpose. And he says, all I do is rebirth in you the purpose that you were birthed for. And then he says, I perfect you and those things that concern you, or those things that you worry about, the things that distress you, that burden you, that you fear, your troubles, your anxieties. I perfect all of the affairs of your life, and as I perfect them, I put them in order. So I don't just perfect them, I give them back in a order by which they will be accomplished. And so I never thought about the order of the perfecting power of God. Just perfect it. Let's be done with it. Just perfect it. But he says, let me perfect it and put it in some kind of order. So what should I be able to anticipate the desired outcome of being under construction? And what I should be able to, the desired outcome that should come as a result of being under construction is this whole, the whole concept found in Romans. Romans 5 tells us, look, now there's the level of justification, sanctification, forgiveness, and righteousness. It's only after I've gone through my construction process that I can embrace the sanctification process. The fact that he justified me. And the evidence or the fruit of my justification and my sanctification is forgiveness. Then Romans 6 says, 1 through 6, the summation is you have died with Christ and to the power of sin's rule. I have died with Christ and to the power of sin's dominion. So as long as I don't agree, or the long as I fight against the construction process, the longer I fight against it, the more in bondage I become. And so Romans 6 says, look, sin should no longer have dominion. We say, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Lord, that's what you said, so I'm going to fall short. He says, but sin no longer has to have dominion in your life. And so the only reason sin has dominion is because you don't understand your authority. So you would rather be ruled than to rule. And so as long as you would rather be ruled, then sin will always have dominion. Yeah, game changer. Bottom line, game changer.
Wow.
So the other thing I can anticipate is Romans 8 and 1, forever free from condemnation. So I'm no longer condemn myself, beat myself up. So then condemnation, he says, has a spirit attached to it of self-righteousness and idolatry, because you think if you beat yourself up and you punish yourself, you're serving as a, you're trying to be God in your own process. So see, God, I dealt with me. You don't have to. I dealt with me. I beat myself up enough. Timothy was doing something, and I said, okay, so your headphones are on punishment. Not you, but your headphones. And then he looked. I said, well, you know, what do you think the consequence should be? And he thought about it. He decided his headphones shouldn't be on punishment, but he shouldn't be able to look at something. So I said, okay. Then he said, well, I'm forgiven. And I don't know, but you guys know it's a long drive from Wheaton this way in traffic. So that wasn't a, I can ignore you, tune you out, get out the car. I'm forgiven. So why are we having more conversation if I'm forgiven?
Wow.
I said, well, you know what? But sin has consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so we have to endure the consequences when we offend God. He said, but I'm forgiven. God doesn't remember it anymore. You should be like God. But I should throw your phone away and the headphones. But the simplicity of that for him is, why are we still having a conversation? I asked God to forgive me for my sins. He forgave me. What's your problem?
Right.
Why are you still holding on to it? But it has consequences. So that whole thing that, oh, I did this wrong and now I must suffer the consequence, that's something that we take on that we don't have to, because even for a child, I'm forgiven. I know not to do it no more. God forgave me. I love God, so I'm not going to hurt his feelings. Just that simple for him. In the car, and I'm going,
wow.
Ooh, how long is this ride from Wheaton to here? God, help me. But then I look at what we do with condemnation,
mm-hmm.
how we condemn ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and then how we condemn everybody around us.
Mm-hmm.
They condemn. You messed up. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You done. That's it. There remaineth no more sacrifice for you. There remaineth no more prayer for you. You're done. That's what we do. We condemn others and we condemn ourselves. And yet part of what should happen for us as we're under construction is getting to the point where we are forever free from condemnation, so that we can understand 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, look, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. Okay.
Wow.
I'm new, and if we're still having this conversation, you don't accept the fact that I'm new, and you're trying to hold me hostage to my past and my past activities.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have to stop and go, how many people do I hold hostage?
Mm-hmm.
So that whole forgiveness piece that says, you know that you have understood and embraced the process of justification and sanctification by your forgiveness, how many people do we treat based off of their history with us? That's it. But you did such and such.
Mm-hmm.
But you did, or your history, you know, your record with me indicates that, you know, if I give you 5 more minutes, you're going to mess up. Let me... I'm trying to save you. Okay? And so he says, we miss that we're new creatures. We're a new creation because we keep treating ourselves and others by past activity, and because we've not gotten past it. which means we haven't forgiven, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a whole other thing. How long was this construction process last? Until.
Mm-hmm.
It's this whole lifetime thing, because we have the pleasure and the privilege of going under construction in every season and phase in our journey.
Mm-hmm.
He allows us to go under construction to get rid of some things, to permanently close some things, to open some things. And so he does that. Who is doing the construction work? The Holy Spirit. And he can and will use whatever means and whatever vessel he chooses to bring about the best construction plan for us. That's an interesting concept. So when you think about the people that have had great impact in your life, not saying whether it was negative or positive, just great impact. Are they the individuals you would have chosen to have that kind of impact?
Mm-hmm.
If you had to go back and choose today, would you choose them? No. Uh-uh. Ham to eggs, no. Because there are some people that they left a mark. They left a blueprint. They left a footprint. Shoot. And we would not. We would not afford them the opportunity to leave another one. And yet, and somebody said, we would be foolish. But God allowed them to make that first one, to bring us to the place that we needed to be. Bless you. So if we flip it and iron sharpens iron, there's a certain type of person that's needed to sharpen you depending on the sharpness of your blade.
Mm-hmm.
Because a person, we want to be sometimes sharpened by people that are dull, but all they do is weaken our blade. So this construction process, he uses people with a sharpness that can cut and better yet, no, I won't say cut, that can sharpen us where we need to be. Everybody couldn't do that. So then we can kind of begin to look back and eventually celebrate the different vessels that he uses for us under construction. So if you think about people that whose presence in your life has altered your life, your life would not, you would have not had that season at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you invite them back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's kind of a unanimous no in the room.
Something.
Okay, no. Get that. So would you invite them back? So then the next question becomes, is it necessary, would it be necessary for them to come back to bring about your next level? If not that person, that same type of person or experience or whatever the case may be, same type of thing to get you to the next place you need to be. How many repeat offenders do you have in your life that if you look at them, they all follow the same pattern? These scenarios follow the same pattern. God consistently. So we got that point. No problem. So what do we do? What do I do in the meantime while I'm under construction? Close down right. We understand the armor. We know what the armor is. We got that. Is it possible that the armor looks different depending on the season you're in? So it is applying the armor based on the season that you're in and understanding what portion or what part of the armor you should be actively engaged in. Number one. Two, pray, but not pray. Pray with the understanding. standing for the purpose and not pray for release from the situation. So it changes the course of our prayers. Then daily surrender, moment by moment, completely give up, relinquish. This was my crisis of belief right here. My will and desire, be it good, bad, or indifferent, for God's purpose, even if my will and my desire is God's purpose, let it go. I don't have to will it or desire it because I'm going to become it. But if I focus on obtaining it, I may use the wrong tools to be transformed by it. The whole resist temptation, but before I can resist temptation, I have to submit. And so not to the concept, but to every step in the process. So we go, oh, Lord, I submit, I surrender. We got that. He goes, yeah, but not to the process. Okay? So submit to the process. Until we submit to the process, we'll never be able to resist the temptation of the situation. Allow Holy Spirit to kill our flesh. So we realize that Holy Spirit, you know, is looking to, our flesh is supposed to be crucified. So because we don't want our flesh crucified, we crucify the Spirit. So it's a matter of identifying that. And then becoming an expression of the Word of God and not reading the Bible, reading around the Bible. Anybody read it? Am I the only person to read around the Bible? So that I can say I read it. So I'll read what isn't a threat in that season of my life. Okay. Like, oh, yes, Lord, I want to hear you say these words to me. Yes. But he says, no, meditate. Game changer. In all the ways, acknowledge me. You mean you want me to ask you, oh, it's Bible time now. What passage would you like me to read? No, we're just supposed to read, right? You know, he said, no, let me direct you to where you need to read because it's what you need to be sustained. So these are just some of the things we do while we're under construction. That whole concept of developing this Christian support system and allowing the people that you ever need help, but you know you need help, but only from certain people can help you. Because if it's not them people, then they're not really helping you. They're more of a hindrance than a help. So the whole concept... Oh, so you guys are just more take help from wherever it comes? No, not me at all. You have to qualify the help. So realizing that concept will always cause you, has the power to cause you to miss the help that he's sending. Because the help that he's sending is typically not the help you would pick. So he says, look, in this support system, let me appoint or assign you the help. And you'd be going, no, not them. That help will make me miss. That help right there will make me. I won't hit the rock, but I'll hit them with that rock. And he's going, it's only because you're bucking against the construction process. Because if you were really under construction, if you really understood the desperate place that you were in and the help, if you really were desperate enough, you would let anybody help you. You would trust my sovereignty that I would only send you what your situation dictated. So in this construction process, that's a good indication that you still don't understand who I am in your process, because you won't trust me to send you who I need to be a part of your process. Yeah, that was messed up. And then that whole journal and jot and write and all of that. And in the process, what do I do if I mess it up? Because I am destined to mess it up. It's 1 John 1:9. Confess, repent, accept, and trust in his forgiveness. And then for me, release myself from the guilt and be willing to start over and go forward. And so, you know, kind of at some point identifying what the application of this will look like. The confession simply for me was I have been spiritually circumcised. My old unregenerated nature has been removed. And if I believe that, then there are some things that I can't go back to because I don't even have a knowledge of their existence because my mind has been wiped clear and renewed. And so there's some things that we have a tendency to go back to because we have to let our mind be renewed. We let our mind be renewed. We understand we're a new creature. Some things we don't even know about. We only know about our old triggers and all that stuff because we haven't allowed the word to work. So it's still an option for us. Well, if it's still an option, then we know we didn't allow the word to work. And then developing a prayer and then a challenge. And that is Psalms 138:8. Yeah, I did get all that out of that. Okay, and then there's a part B because I didn't even do the do not abandon me.
Wow.
Or don't give up on me or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the whole do not abandon me part is still forthcoming. Anybody anything?
Wow. That's a mouthful.
I was still kind of chewing on the submit to the process of God. You know, I have that scripture on my desk, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. And then, you know, when we think about submitting to God, we think of something so elementary. Okay, God, your will be done. You know, and then when he starts pointing, wait, hold on, God, that cannot be your will. You know, and so that just putting that little phrase in there to the process. Submit to the process of God, you know, and trust his sovereignty that whatever he's putting you through is going to work together. It's going to sharpen you in some kind of way. It's going to bring about the purpose and the expected end that he has for my life. And so, yeah, I was just chewing on that a little more so that it can digest properly.
Wow. This has been a phenomenal month. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Prayerfully. Well, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Doing next month.
We're getting there. So. We are working on the, I believe it's the 9th, what class will look like on the 9th, whether it's something that will be done via blog talk. We will have, so what is that? On the 2nd, we will have the direction for the 9th.
Okay.
And then we're still trying to identify a location for a writer's retreat. And it may just be that we kind of make some modifications here and kind of make it a little comfortable so that we can do it. So that is still forthcoming either in middle May or beginning of June. So, yeah. So that's it. Thank you, thank you. Enjoy the process.
Wow.
Or submit to the process. I guess I could enjoy it if I submitted to it. So, okay, yeah.
There you go.
That's it. So thank you, Overseer.
Yes, Apostle.
No, thank you.
Yes,
we are done. Thank you.
Yes.
Pastor Marlette.
We thank you for joining Spiritual Growth and Development and the teaching and the preparation for the book of our Apostle, Dr. Shonet Harden. And we encourage you to be prayerful, be mindful of Holy Spirit's work around you in this area. And join us next week as she concludes her series. And we say good night.